Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to All of It. Chances are, if you work in an organization, you've seen a shift in the age range of those working around you. The research shows that there are now a staggering 5 generations in the workforce, each with its own set of expectations. A new book explores how it's possible for the shift in the workplace to ultimately improve not only day-to-day workplace interactions, but also the work being done. Titled The Remix, How to Lead and Succeed in Today's Multi-Generational Workplace, it was written by New York Times bestselling author and workplace researcher Lindsay Pollack, who I'm very pleased to have in the studio with me. Hi, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have a coworker who belongs to a very different generation from your own? Give us a call with an example of when this has helped you at your work, or call with a question for our expert Lindsay. Our number is 212-433-9692-212-433-WNYC. We're talking generations. Okay, so what are these 5 generations, Lindsay?
Okay, so the generations are the traditionalists, World War II greatest generation, who are mostly out of the workforce but still going. Mm-hmm. And so that longer tenure of the older workers is really unique about the workplace today. Think Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Rupert Murdoch. Mm-hmm. Then you have the baby boomers, who were dominant for the past half century, born 1946 to 64, the largest generation ever born into the U.S. Gen Xers like me, born 65 to 80. We are one of the smallest generations in the workplace, kind of that middle. Then you have the millennials, who are also huge, about 62 million, born about 1981 to 1996. And then Generation Z is born 1997 and later, so just graduating from college and entering the workplace.
So why do we have all these generations working at once? This is unusual.
It's unusual, not that young people come in, because that's happened forever. Mm-hmm. What's unusual is how much later in life people are working. So there are more Americans over age 85 working today than ever before in American history. Baby boomers are not retiring at 62 and 65. Many can't because of the recession, because they can't afford to. Many don't want to because they're living long lives and they want to continue working. So it's actually the expansion on the older end that's more unique than ever before.
Listeners, we're ready to take your calls, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Do you work in an intergenerational workplace? Do you have questions about it? Do you find it's works out well for you? We'd love to hear from you. 212-433-9692. Okay, so there have been conflicts in the workplace with these generations. And I want to play a skit. You've probably seen this. It was on Saturday Night Live. It was called Millennial Millions. It was a game show that pitted millennials against baby boomers. And they kind of set the stage for why millennials might not like baby boomers. This was a great song by the great Adie Bryant. Let's play this.
Well, good evening. Now, who are the boomers? Well, their parents came home from World War II, and they had a lot of sex and they had a lot of kids. Then the kids grew up in a prosperous time where America was the only superpower left. Then they played all the music and they did all the drugs and they had all the sex and they all went to college. Then they got all the jobs and they made all the money and they bought all the houses and they won't ever die.
Oh, that cracks me up.
Pretty much nails it.
Is it just the sheer size is why they have set the workplace standards in many places?
Yes. I think we really need to acknowledge that the boomers are significantly, massively larger than other generations by tens of millions, and they continue to work. So they've been dominant for literally 50 years.
And what kind of issues, I don't want to pick on boomers, but what kind of issues are coming up by having these multi-generations in one place?
Well, I think it's really important not to say that either side or any generation is wrong or right. It's not about winning or losing. Mm-hmm. But the way that boomers worked, which in many ways was dictated by the traditionalists who raised them and brought them into the workplace, was very hierarchical. It was about an upper-out corporate culture. It was about uniformity, where everybody works 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are, where you are loyal to the same company and work there until you retire. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that those mores are changing, and the people who were used to that model are now confused or angry that it no longer works that way.
What's a classic sort of example of an intergenerational conflict one might encounter at work?
So a really classic example that I hear from so many clients has to do with earbuds in the workplace. And this has to do with what is appropriate, what is, quote, professional behavior. So when you think about traditionalists, boomers, and Xers, we didn't have headphones that we could wear. We also often had offices or cubicles with doors and walls that we could use. So we did not wear anything on our heads, and we did not play music. Young people have grown up with Sony Walkman, go back to the Gen Xer days, with AirPods, with music, and with these open office spaces where the only way that you could have privacy is to listen to music. So you get a conflict of a baby boomer boss who says, take off your earbuds, pay attention. This, you know, work isn't about having fun and listening to music. And the younger person says, I'm not having fun. I'm trying to concentrate and be productive. So the issue is that the earbuds feel totally normal to the young person and feel unprofessional to the older person. So that's an example of a conflict that I've seen a lot.
One of the things you write in your book, and it's great, your book is actually about solutions, about trying to figure ways to work together. And you describe it as a remix. You have to take sort of a, I'll let you describe it. What's a remix? What's a workplace remix when it comes to generations?
Sure. I love that you mentioned that it's positive, because I was trying to come up with a metaphor that said this can be a good thing. This does not have to be a horrible conflict. Mm-hmm. And I think even with the earbuds, there is a solution. And so the remix is based on a song, a remix song, where you take a classic and you mix in modern elements. And what I like about it is it doesn't say the classic was wrong or bad or outdated and that the modern is better. It says that it is inclusive and happier and excellent together. And I interviewed a bunch of DJs who said one of their tricks is when you have an empty dance floor at a wedding or a party, you play a remix because the older people, the grandparents come and dance because they feel included and the younger people feel included. And that's the mission of the book, is that everybody should feel included and enjoy being together.
What's an example of a remix? And then we'll get to some calls.
So an example of a remix is reverse mentoring, which is that the classic of mentoring is great, that you're a young person and you have an older person who advises you and is wise and helps you with your career. Love it. Don't change that. The remix is that now, because young people have this great technical knowledge and innovative savvy, that older people can, in that same relationship, say, what's your advice to me? So reverse mentoring is that mentoring now goes both ways. It doesn't just have to be top down.
My guest is Lindsay Pollack. The name of her book is The Remix, How to Lead and Succeed in Today's Multi-Generational Workplace. Let's go to Dana online, too. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Allison.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. This is such an interesting topic to me.
So tell me a little bit about your work.
So I am an alcohol sales rep in New Jersey. I work for a large distribution company in their fine wine department. I am 35, so I'm right on the cusp of that elder millennial, as everybody's joking about now. And it's huge in my industry, the span of people. I didn't get a chance to tell your screener, but my boss, the head of my division, is actually 76, so it's a huge range within our company. But I did tell your screener that within promoing new products and getting new things out there, they're always after that millennial generation to buy their new products. And in our meetings that we have, we do tastings and meetings about every 2 weeks. And it's always talked about what's going to appeal to the millennial generation, our millennial buyers. How can we make this fancy and eye-catching? The concept is always that millennials have no brand loyalty, and yet the boomers, the older generation who are still drinking wine, are kind of set in their ways. Like, they go back to the same bottle, the same glass every single time, while millennials are willing to try so many different things, but then never circle back around to it.
That's such interesting marketing. Hey, Dana, thank you so much. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Peter, can I say what year you were born?
Yeah, sure.
Peter was born in 1939 and is still working.
Yes. I was a teacher for my career. Now I write a blog about education and politics. Excellent. So I go to all kinds of meetings with 25-year-old reporters. And I'm the institutional knowledge, and they're the people who teach me how to tweet faster.
That is so perfect.
That's a remix. I love it.
That is an example of a remix. Thank you so much for sharing, Peter. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. What's your intergenerational workplace story? If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear it. 212-433-WNYC. My guest is Lindsay Pollack, and we're talking about the remix, How to Lead and Succeed in Today's Multi-Generational Workplace. One of your rules is not to generation shame. And I just have to play another clip from this SNL thing because it cracks me up. It's this moment in this game show when they bring out a baby boomer and the millennial is challenged not to freak out. about what the baby boomer is saying, and the Gen X host is just enjoying it. Let's take a listen.
You young people, you have it so easy. You know, you sit around eating avocado toast, watching movies on your phone. I never had that, okay? I had to work. I mean, $8 million is not what it used to be. So, of course, I'm taking the Social Security.
I'm sorry, I can't. You're taking the Social Security? You are rich.
Ooh. Sorry, Carrie. You didn't keep your cool.
It just, it feels so unfair.
Well, maybe you can tweet about it. That'll solve everything. Oh, my goodness. I'm just playing. I'm Gen X. I just sit on the sidelines and watch the world burn.
But there is that idea of the generations, like, you don't understand, and you just look at your phone, and you're Gen X, you don't even matter because you're so small. What can you do to get around, if you're the leader in the workplace, to get around this generational shaming?
I'm so glad you brought it up. Just stop. If we, for some reason, it's unacceptable to criticize and shame anything else related to diversity, right? If you said something like, all women are so entitled, right? You can't get away with that. We don't allow that. But somehow when it's around age, we say, oh, I'm such a Luddite. And oh, you know, I walked uphill both ways to school. And you're so entitled. And you eat avocado toast. And you live with your mom and dad in their basement. That doesn't help anybody. And, you know, to the point of Dana the caller, if you're trying to market to young people, they can feel when they're being shamed. They can feel when the employees of that company don't feel included and accepted by everybody else. So, not to be a spoil sport, and I'm all for the humor of Saturday Night Live, but if you're a boss and your employee feels that you don't respect their age, they're not going to do their best work for you.
One of your other rules is to be more transparent within the organization. How can this help in terms of generational dynamics?
This freaks everybody out. So it's really important that the rule is be more transparent, not be 100% completely transparent. That's what people interpret it as. So just to clarify, that I think has to do with the times we live in. And so it's incumbent upon everybody, which is that this generation coming up has grown up with the internet, full stop, end of story. So they expect to have transparency with what is in their products, with what the senior leaders of their organizations are doing, with what their politicians are doing in their free time. So they're going to expect that if they work for a company, that they're going to have transparency about how that company makes its money. And really critically, they're going to have transparency about their own career. I had a young guy say to me, my company tells me to be patient, you know, to wait it out, that I'm too impatient. And they said, your career is a marathon, not a sprint. And he said, okay, but what mile am I on? Tell me something about where I am. So transparency doesn't mean, you know, tell everybody about your personal life and post photos on Instagram. Transparency means talk to people about how long they're going to stay in the company. Talk to people about their performance. Give people feedback and let them know how their job contributes to the company.
Let's take another call. Susanna is on line 3. Hi, Susanna.
Hi. I am an independent education consultant, so basically a college counselor. I work with students and their parents to help them kind of navigate the whole preparing for and going through the college admissions process, which means that I spend a tremendous amount of time with 16 and 17-year-olds, particularly the 17-year-olds, because I'm working with them on their essays. And it's just been an amazing experience because I'm 56 years old and I'm spending a big chunk of my time talking to kids who are 40 years younger than me, and it's opened up a whole new world for me. I've learned about K-pop and learned about different things in technology and also gotten to understand the anxieties that kids are going through. And it's just, it's a kind of cross-generational thing that I never anticipated that's really changed the way I perceive really politics in the world and everything, because I'm getting this window into kids who are two generations younger than me.
Susanna, thank you so much. Brian is calling us from Hanover, New Jersey, on line 6. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. You work in tech?
I do, yeah. sorry, excuse me. There is a huge influx of younger generation workers that have come into my workplace, and I'm 51, and I'm concerned about how to last another 20 years without at some point being forced out or being seen as, you know, too antiquated to stay around.
Suzanne, can you give her, Lindsay, can you give Brian some advice?
Absolutely. I would suggest networking with the young people in your organization. I think it's not about the knowledge that you have. I think it's about the relationships that you build. And if you have relationships of trust and you can show your value, your soft skills, your communication skills, your leadership skills, and be of value to the young people in your organization, they will want to have you around.
Let's go to Karen from Westport. Hi, Karen.
Hi. How are you?
Doing great.
I just wanted to share, I'm a baby boomer, and I had an experience working for a tech company with a lot of millennials and younger, and it was the first time I'd been on a job where I didn't have an office. Everybody had cubicles, and I used to come in my fur coat saying, good morning to everyone in their cubicles, and they were just kind of looking at me like, what is she doing? And I finally learned the cubicles have their own invisible wall. So I was completely invading everyone's space. So
it was
a lovely experience, and I learned something.
Thank you so much for calling. This one last one I want to get in with you, Lindsay, is so interesting because you wrote Rule 8, it's okay if everybody wins, but you're not pandering to the everyone gets a trophy trope. So what do you mean everybody wins?
So what I mean is this is not a zero-sum game. So many people ask me, well, if there's a conflict like the earbuds, who wins? The baby boomer doesn't want you to wear them or the junior person who does want to wear them? And the answer is, why can't we all win? Why can't you say some days you can wear them, some days you can't? When clients are in the office, you can't. When so-and-so isn't here. So find solutions that meet everybody's needs, which often means offering more options and more flexibility.
I'm actually a huge fan of millennials, and we have actually a really interesting mix on this program. And this is not for anybody on the staff, but I've seen this, especially in media, people want to advance really fast. What advice would you give to a leader for somebody who's super talented but probably maybe isn't ready for the job that they really want yet?
So I think that's where the transparency comes in, which is having that honest conversation. A couple of companies that I interviewed for the book talked about having what they called stay conversations, which is not an annual review. It's saying, we want you to stay. I know this is what you want. Here's why you're not ready. Here's what it will take to get there. Here's the plan that I have in place. Because too often somebody leaves and we say, but I had a plan for you. And then the answer is always, nobody told me that.
I've had so many informational interviews. People come to me, not who work here. It's like, I want to do this. And it's hard. It's just like I say talk to your boss, or you might need to wait a year, and a lot of people don't want to hear the wait word. It's
as
hard.
Long as you can give a reason, you need to wait, and here is why, and here is how long it will take, and here is what you need to do to advance. We need to give more information.
What's one last parting bit of information you want to make people to think about?
Don't forget about us Gen Xers. We are in the middle. We've spent no time talking about us. We are important too.
Oh, we're going to fix things. I'm convinced, because Gen Xers know how to adapt.
We're bilingual between the generations.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. That's not why I invited you on. I just thought the book was interesting. The name of the book is The Remix, How to Lead and Succeed in the Multi-Generational Workplace. Callers, thanks for calling in. And Lindsay, thanks for joining us on All of It.
Thanks so much.